Well, if we're winging it and we're going, then let's go. So how do you feel right now, where we stand at the near the end of June 2024 in the Constructors Championship? How does it feel compared to 2023? And how do you feel heading into 4th of July, you know, next week? What are your thoughts?
4th of July, can't wait. But but no, I think, you know, the Constructors is a lot closer than it was last year, obviously. I think it's, you know, I don't know. It's nice to see, you know, McLaren is in there, Ferrari's in there. You've got, you know, multiple race winners now. It's not just Verstappen running away with the championship like it was last year and the year before, really. You know, Sainz has a win, Leclerc has a win in Monaco, which was somewhat awesome
to
watch.
Huge. That was great. Yeah.
Lando got his first win in Miami. What a place to get your first win, you know.
Right.
Play out in Miami.
You're absolutely right, though. It does feel different, doesn't it? Like, it does feel like there's some action. It's not quite as predetermined, maybe, as it felt last year at this time.
Routine, almost.
Right, where, you know, second place was the highest honor anyone could try to achieve.
Yeah, right.
It does, but so... I know everyone's talked about this, but, like, do we have a fight on our hands, or is that just wishful thinking?
I don't know, because, I mean, we heard Norris at the end of the last race where he said that he had the fastest car on the track. He knew he could have won that race, but even when Verstappen is not on his A game, all it takes is one little mistake or messing up the start of the race, and... You know, there's not much you can do.
Nothing you can do against Max Verstappen.
So, yeah. I definitely think that we are getting closer to having a much tighter title fight. Right. But I don't know. I mean, but this is what you see every time there's a regulation change. The first couple of years, it's spread out. There's always like one team that just nails the new regulations and they're perfect right out of the gate and everybody's playing catch up. But once you get a few seasons into it, everybody kind of like closes that gap up a little bit.
Right.
And we're starting to see that now with McLaren, Ferrari closing that gap. Even Mercedes is starting to kind of pull back a little bit, which is good to see.
Right. Right.
But
at the end of the day, Red Bull, even if you have equal machinery turned on, like in the video game, they have the best driver. So, and they make the least mistakes. So you're chasing.
Well, you know. Can you really say best drivers? Because I mean,
well, driver,
I saw a points comparison today, and you know, Perez just got that nice new contract to keep him at Red Bull, but he's gotten like 8 points in the last however many races compared to 54 for Verstappen.
Right, right. No, that's what I mean. Maybe I misspoke, but yeah, best driver. Right. So he's winning. Max is at the front. But then, and we started talking about this the other day, I didn't even really want to keep texting you because I wanted to ask you this question. So when you have mathematically one guy at the front, but then your second driver is behind all of your competitors, that's going to squeeze the standings, right? Like mathematically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it is interesting with Checo kind of not falling by the wayside, but he's opening the door a little bit for McLaren and Ferrari and Mercedes. But is it enough? Is it enough, or do they already have enough of a lead built up with the best driver out front that they can? Mathematically, it's too hard. You know, it's tricky. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's obviously going to be a lot more wiggle room with Perez not being the. I mean, when you're the number two driver or the rear gunner, you're supposed to be, especially when you have the best car that's on the grid. You know, I mean, I know Verstappen's probably extracting more than is even possible from that car.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just inhuman. But you would think that if you're in that car, you should at least be getting second, third, maybe fourth.
Some podiums.
At the very least.
Right.
But struggling to get into Q3 and, you know, not performing super well in the race. I don't know. He did great up until he got that new contract. It was like ever since he got the new contract, he just checked out.
Yeah, and it seems like they gave him that contract right before the time of year where he traditionally starts, the performance starts to fade. You know, Checo,
yeah, Perez seems, every year.
Yeah, he seems like he starts out well, he's near the front, maybe wins a race, and then kind of fades. So to give him that extension at that point was really interesting to me.
I was thinking they were going to wait until at least the summer break. But
right.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see them give him that contract so early, because like you said, he always has this fall off point like a quarter of the way into the season.
Right.
And they hadn't really gotten there yet. Yeah, he was kind of performing well, but he does it every single year without fail.
Right. And the guys in those cars between Perez and Verstappen are all getting better. Their cars are improving. They're stronger each weekend, and now Sergio's kind of, you know, showing he's like you just said, that fall off a little bit, and it makes for interesting weekends. It really does make for fascinating qualifyings and fascinating race weekends, because it's not like he's on the podium every weekend, or it's not like last year where Max was so far ahead that you just couldn't fathom catching him. It's at least something worth watching, you know, every weekend. So it does feel good.
Well, it's like what we were saying before to kind of open this topic was, you know, it just seems like the performance gap, there's only so much performance that Red Bull can extract from a car or from a concept.
Right.
And once they kind of reach that limit, their performance improvements slow down while everybody else is still making these big jumps as they're finding that performance. So that gap closes pretty quick. And I think we're seeing a lot of evidence of that early on this year. We saw some of it at the end of last year with McLaren kind of rising up the way they did. But yeah, I think that the second half of the season could be pretty interesting because there's going to be so many teams that are bringing big updates.
Which of those teams between Mercedes, Ferrari, and McLaren do you think is most satisfied with their driver pairing right now? Just for 2024.
I think I would have to say McLaren, just because Norris and Piastri is just such a great combination. Sainz and McLaren, there's some fireworks there. They had some contact in the last race, and they just weren't very happy with each other. I think that Sainz is feeling the pressure because he's trying to find a new drive for next year. Mm. He still hasn't had any news about a new contract with any other team.
That'll be a whole episode for us. That'll be a whole. We'll do the Carlos signs. Yeah, where's signs gonna sign? Yeah, that'll be a whole.
What do you think? What do you have you heard any rumors about where he's rumored to go?
What are the options? Right, he's Audi, maybe Williams. I've heard.
I've heard the like Sauber, Audi, Williams, yeah. Haas, maybe.
Haas. I haven't heard that. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, where do you see?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's too talented of a driver to go to some low midfield team.
Right.
Yep, he deserves to be in a top four, top five team.
Is there a top four, top five seat, though? I mean,
no, there's not.
Right?
There's not. Unless he pulls something out of the bag to get the Mercedes seat. But that's really his only option to get like a top three or top four seat.
That's interesting too, what Mercedes is going to do there. But it's fascinating. So Sainz and Leclerc, what about, so Mercedes probably least satisfied with their driver pairing right now, or just because it's so up in the air going forward? And
well, I think that they know that Russell is going to be able to kind of carry on the leadership role of that team. Whether they bring in Antonelli from F2, who hasn't really been showing a huge performance improvement throughout his junior season.
Hmm. He was the top rated, right?
He was like this heralded rookie that's going to be coming up into Formula One, and he's going to be the next big thing, but he hasn't really shown that pace in Formula Two. He's getting beat a lot. He's not stellar. But the same can be said for Schwartzman, who filled in for Sainz earlier this year at Jeddah. You know, he's not finishing very well in F2, but you saw what he did in Formula 1 in his one race.
Right.
So.
Right. Wait, who was that? Wasn't that Ali Berman? Was that Berman?
It was
Berman. I think Berman had a start. Yeah, but you're still, you're right on it, though, with
I don't know why I was thinking of Robert Schwartzman.
Hey, you, I think I'm the one who on here.
It was a little while ago. I'll chalk it up to that. It's interesting.
Who would you put your money on of those three teams? If someone's going to catch Red Bull and someone's forcing you to put a bet on it, who are you betting on?
I don't know. I would have to say McLaren, just because they have shown great consistency. They haven't really put a foot wrong with their upgrades.
They really have.
Obviously, I would want to say Ferrari, but they keep getting in their own way.
Right, right, and that seems to be cropping up again now, at the worst possible time, as they were kind of closing in a little bit and starting to make some noise. Now we've got
the past couple of races they've just been nowhere. And then with Mercedes, it's really all about if they're actually understanding their car now. It's been 3 years. Are they actually understanding their car concept and what they want to do? They're starting to make some progress for sure.
But are they too far behind the curve? You know, are they a little bit too far behind the curve? And then by the end of the year, you've got Hamilton, you know, one foot out the door. It's for Mercedes. It just feels like they're kind of looking to the future. Not that you can tank or anything like that, but they are making a lot of improvement, but they've set themselves back by trying to be more clever than everybody else. You know, they really have set themselves back this cycle.
And that was the thing. Like, they came out in 2022 with this radical zero pod side pod concept. It didn't work. It was proven not to work all season. They complained about how, the cars are running so low and we're dealing with the porpoising so much that we can't actually extract any performance out of the car. So they got the FIA to raise the ride height by like 15 millimeters, which in Formula One terms is, it's pretty big. It's a pretty big gap. And they said, okay, we're going to try it again next year. And it was the same thing.
Right. So now they're chasing a little bit too much, you know? And I do think with Mercedes and Russell, the one thing George kind of has to do is show that he can close a little bit, show that he can avoid the mistakes late in the race, that, you know, to be a winner, to win more often, he's got to kind of clean that up a little bit. Last year, I think he went into a wall when he was chasing second place somewhere near the end of the year. And now this year, he's made a few mistakes.
Singapore.
Yeah, and now he's made
it. That was Singapore. He was chasing. He was getting frustrated behind Sainz because Sainz was controlling the pace. He wasn't going as fast as he possibly could. He was just going fast enough to keep the other guys behind.
Right, right. Very frustrating, but still not worth driving your car into the wall, George. Come on. No. But that's no. I think where the trouble. It'll be fascinating because they've done a nice job with Russell, making him. You know, they haven't pushed Hamilton out, but he's clearly the senior driver now, or at least going forward. You know, it definitely feels like maybe Hamilton is like the senior who's almost done with classes, and Russell is the captain for next year, kind of in waiting, inheriting the team. And they've done a nice job not having them clash, but also changing roles a little bit.
You could argue that there has been some favoritism so far, but at the same time, I think it's been pretty, it's not non-existent, I guess, since Hamilton announced his move to Ferrari, which, you never want to see that. You never want to see a team see a driver change like that and then go, oh, well, since you're going to be leaving at the end of the year, we're not going to support you this year, and we're just going to give all the updates to this driver. We're not going to give you the best pit stops. We're going to sabotage your races, not give you the best strategies.
I'm picturing.
But so far, we haven't seen that.
I'm picturing, as you say that, like Lewis pulls into the pit and they're like, I'm not changing that tire. Like, tell him to do it himself. You know, like
he's like waving to the guy in the garage, like, come on, help me, help me.
Oh man. I lost you there for a second. You cut out on me.
I mean, you've got a little fuzzy a couple of times, but I think we're okay.
I gotcha. All right. And I think through, you know, that's why we have the backup audio. It'll be good.
Yes.
Got it going.
Running two audio setups at the same time.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty fancy.
Getting there.
What else are you thinking about for the 2024 season, you know, going from here to the end? Like, what, besides chasing Red Bull, as we've been doing since before we started this podcast, like, what else has your eye heading into the end of the year in general?
Well, I'm interested to see when Williams decides to pull the plug on Sargent.
Could be any minute.
I have a feeling that could be like any race now. It sucks because, you know, you want him to do well, but he just hasn't progressed. No. He hasn't shown any progression at all.
No, and Alex Albon has been good, and he's shown that car can, you know, perform. So,
yeah,
where's my teammate? Yeah,
right. They need a, you know, in Williams being the smaller team that they are, they desperately need a second driver to kind of help that workload and get them as many points as possible. Because with every point you get, that's a little extra money you get at the end of the year that helps you out. And they're just not getting that right now.
No, and it's got to be frustrating because I think on the development side and on the, like, team-wide, I feel like they're on the upswing, but that second driver's seat is occupied. And it has been for 3 or 4 years now by someone who's just not really up to the task. You know, before Sargent, was it Nicholas Latifi? I mean...
Latifi, yep.
So...
Yep.
Yeah, very... And I think they have something with Albon. Didn't they just re-sign him? Like, isn't he...
They did.
So...
Yeah, he wants to be part of the rebuild. And I think I even said something about that to open the season, where I was hoping that he would stay on and not go to a big team, because he's already had that chance with a big team. He was with Red Bull. Right. They showed him the door because he wasn't performing compared to Max Verstappen.
Oh, yeah.
And so they booted him, and... I can't even remember where he went after that. It wasn't Williams right away.
I
remember he ended up at Williams, and yeah, I'm so happy for him because last year he did so great.
Right.
And you know, he deserved that contract. I was really hoping that he would stay with Williams, and he did. So
I mean, where's Williams in their progression towards, you know, being fighting for more points every weekend, if they sign an upgraded, you know, second driver, or even better, no, how long honestly do you think until they pull the plug on Sargent? Do you think it's before the summer break?
I think it'll be over the summer break. I can't see them. I mean, especially if he's not performing still, I can't see them hanging on to him for too much longer.
No,
it wouldn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense for them to.
And is there any rumor for that seat? I mean, we're not doing the full episode now, but is there anything?
I haven't really heard anything. I've been trying to pay a little bit more attention to the gossip as far as that goes.
You know what? It's better this year. We have more standings to pay attention to than gossip. You know, the racing is,
yes,
better.
It's actually quite nice, isn't it?
It's,
you can actually look at a race and go, oh, Verstappen's not on pole. He might not win the race.
It's beautiful.
Oh, we have multiple. I think F1 posted about this. It was like 5 different pole sitters in 5 different races.
Beautiful. That's exactly what you want. You know,
that's exactly what you want. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
No.
Well, Verstappen could not win as many races as he has, but he's brilliant right now, so you can't really put that past him.
That's the thing with Red Bull, is they still, it's one thing to have the best car, but the team to be so precise in everything they do is just, it's brutal. You know, you're waiting for Verstappen to end up off the track one time into the marbles, and he's not. Going, you know, he's not in the gravel. He's never, ever.
I will say, though, now that you've brought that up, I will say that he has made a few little mistakes here and there this season. We saw it in Spain when he, I think it was like turn seven, he went wide and he had to go over the gravel and back onto the track.
Right.
I don't know if that's the car or if that's him just feeling a little bit more pressure.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess when you're not
30 he's having seconds to kind out. Of just he's having to push a little bit harder and he's having to really manage himself in the race instead of just setting on cruise control after lap five and nobody's going to touch you.
That's true. That's a very good point. I hadn't considered that he is under a little bit more pressure from chasing cars, you know, rather than just himself and his dad. But, you know.
By the way, did you see that Jos Verstappen crashed a rally car, over the weekend?
No. Did he really?
Yeah. Oh, it was a total yard sale. There's like a wheel hanging off over here, and it's like dragged through the woods over there.
He's still out there, huh?
He's still doing his thing. But I just thought it was hilarious. I like saw the post. I'm like, oh my god, that's too funny.
That's pretty funny. That is.
Max
funny.
Is gonna have to leave him at the gas station.
I think what else? I'm trying to think what else we've got for 2024. That's kind of got things. We have a ton. There is a ton of driver talk and team talk, but I feel like those are all full episodes. There's so much to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
What else is on your mind? The general forum. What else do you have for 2024 Formula One that maybe has been sticking in your craw? Well, I know you like to rant every now and then.
Don't get me started. I want Sainz to find a seat. He deserves a seat. I've been more focused on the rise of McLaren and how Norris has been progressing. I've also been really focused on, you know, not to jump off of 2024, but the 2026 regulation changes,
which are going to be
huge. I mean, it's going to be, I don't know if you've seen some of the renders, but they're some of the best looking cars we've had since like the mid-2000s.
Oh, it looks amazing. And I guess my question I'll ask you now about that is, when are they off and running with developing those cars? Like, is there a certain go date, or is it right now?
So, I think they talked about it on one of the broadcasts, but I think the deal is that all these teams have been running, I don't think they can run like a CAD design or like a whatever, fluid dynamics or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
They can't do any of that kind of thing, but they can start making part or at least designing parts and putting these things together in like a 3D environment. They can't do any aerodynamic testing until I think next June, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
But don't quote me on that.
No.
Because I haven't...
Oh, I never would.
...refreshed enough on the regulations yet. But there's usually a little bit of a waiting period that they have, you know, they can start developing things for the car and developing ideas, but they can't actually make models of it and test models of it until a certain date.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating because you've got to imagine they're just chomping at the bit and there's so many ideas and thoughts going around those teams.
Oh, yeah, headquarters. Absolutely.
What's going to work, what's not going to work. Yeah.
What's your thought? Where's Adrian Newey going?
I mean, does he have to necessarily go somewhere right away, or could he go fishing for a while? I mean,
I think he's going to be forced to go fishing for a short amount of time.
Right.
But he'll have a quote unquote vacation.
But I mean, does he want to keep in the game, or is he? Yeah. Could he be someone that walks away? No, he wants to keep going.
I think he wants to keep in the game, but you know, he's got. I'm sure he's got talks from Ferrari and Mercedes because Mercedes is trying to court Verstappen.
Right.
Right. But I could also see him going back to Williams, which is where his career really started.
Now that would be maybe that's the piece Williams really. Would put them over the top. Yeah, that would.
Wouldn't it be incredible if he goes back to Williams and he kind of helps bring them back to the front of the field?
That would be fantastic.
Just like he did back in like the 80s.
I like that idea.
Like the late 80s.
Wow, I do like that idea. I hadn't thought of that. I had heard the same things you had. Someone had said something about Aston Martin interested, but maybe he was going to take a pass on
that.
But It's that, I mean, might be the biggest free agent or personnel change that could happen, even with all these drivers that might move.
It'd be huge.
It would be huge. That's
so.
Go ahead.
You bring up Aston Martin. I need to ask you. That kind of brought up another driver in my mind. What about Lance Stroll? Where does it leave him? Because he's not performing either.
Oh, it should have left him.
How long are they going to hang on to a guy like Lance Stroll when they have Alonso bringing in all these points?
I think that's up to Lance Stroll. I don't know. He is bad. I hate to say it like that, but he is not a good. It's not impressive. You know, most weekends you're holding on, hoping he doesn't wreck it, and it's tough. It's tough because that would be a great seat for any. Imagine like Carlos Sainz, going to Aston Martin, and that's a nice pairing right there. And
it is.
It's tough.
The thing for me with Stroll is that he has showed flashes, but it's never been consistent. He's had some great moments where, like, I think it was like 2020 at Turkey in the rain on a super slippery track. He got pole, I think, or just near, like, pretty darn close to it. And it was like, wow, like, this kid, like, that's what he can do. Like, that's what he's capable of.
Right.
But he doesn't. You just never.
You've got to do it consistently.
To that same level.
Yeah, you've got to
exactly.
Got to be able to do it.
You can't be a one-trick pony.
Yeah, you go up there and you get a base hit in your first at bat. You got to be able to hit for average. You can't just have that live off that one single forever. You know, eventually you have.
If I got up to the MLB plate and I hit even like a bunt single, I would retire after I get back to the dugout.
Just foul tip into the mitt, and I'd walk out of there like. I mean, you know,
I made contact.
Yeah, I would. I'm too excited. So who's reaction time? I wonder if there's been studies done about major league hitters versus Formula One drivers in terms of like that quick twitch reaction time, because they both.
Well, I would like to see drag racers versus Formula One drivers, because, you know, think about how a drag race happens. They've got the light up trees and it goes from like, you know, they stage and then it's like. Yellow, green, and right. Like you have to be like you have to have such a quick. You almost have to like jump to start almost.
Almost like jump it. That's crazy.
It's impressive.
You think they have the quickest? Some of the quickest reaction time drag racers.
I definitely think they have some of the quickest, just because of the way they, you know, they see the lights go. It's not like a Formula One where it's set early. It's like a randomized amount of time.
Right,
but it kind of like hangs; those lights hang out there for a couple of seconds, and then they go.
I saw a nice piece on the lady who does that. There's a person who decides when to do the lights, and she's been doing it for like 20 years now. And she got the job anyway.
That's
it was
so cool.
It was like a mini 30 for 30 on ESPN before the race the other day. It was neat. And they asked her,
"That's quite the button to have in your hand.
How do you decide when to press the?" And she's like, "It just just comes to me. I just decide.
It just feels right."
It's fascinating. Yeah, at least it's not like my brother in the Formula One game where he just goes whenever.
Oh my God,
we're all waiting to start the race and he's down on turn one.
So funny,
you know.
I'm still so mad that I got a penalty for jumping that start, because I mean I was like, I released the clutch like the second, like
take it up with the stewards.
Like I got it perfect. It looked like I got it perfect, but it must have been like a fraction of a second.
Yeah, that's frustrating. Yeah. That's one thing.
And it was like 3 second drive-through penalty. I'm like, great. And then meanwhile, Mark, like before I even left my starting line, he's like already by me.
He's giving people the finger on the way by. Like, what do you, you know? Yeah. That's one thing I'd like to do if anyone listens or whatever too. Like the more people we could get to race or to play those games. I like having the time trial leaderboard for each week, you know, like Austria this week. And it is a lot of fun just trying to catch times.
Yeah, so I actually kind of had a thought on this earlier, and because I was thinking kind of the same thing. It'd be kind of cool if, you know, obviously the more that people listen, the more that people are going to engage and want to play the game and, you know, do their hot laps. But we share, like, whichever race is coming up. So, like, this week it's going to be Austria.
Yeah.
So for the whole week, we'll have will put out like a hot lap challenge or something like that. And, you know, you tell us your time or you send us the clip of it and we'll post it on our social media here.
Yeah, I love it.
And it can be you, it can be me, it can be my dad, it can be Mark, it could be anybody else. It could be anybody.
Yeah, add us to.
I think it'd be just pretty cool.
We'll make like a friend group too. So if you want to jump on the leaderboard in real time, you can see each other's times, and it would be hopefully, and maybe over time we can grow that into a real thing where we've got a full race worth of people that want to do a Grand Prix. You know, like if it was the Red Bull Ring, like it is this weekend, we could have people Sunday morning before the race having a quick Grand Prix. That would be a lot of fun. That would be cool.
Like an F1 Funcast Grand Prix Sunday.
And the prize would be absolutely nothing except nothing, honor and glory. Yeah. And not even that much honor or glory.
Bragging rights for the week.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, though. I like any way to engage and kind of...
Okay, I gotta take this hat off. It's way too warm in here.
I was just gonna say, it's definitely definitely warm. But I like it. I like any way we can engage like that and get people kind of interacting. I've been blown away with how many people I know that have gotten into Formula One, even like after me. I thought I was the newbie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that have gotten into it recently, which is really cool, you know?
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's amazing how much the sport has grown. I think a lot of it has to do with not just the popularity in the United States and the broadcasting in the United States, but also just like Drive to Survive. I know that.
That was huge.
That was huge. I know that's kind of given some fans a bad rap, but
you know,
we'll keep you.
That's the way it'll be. Yeah. I mean... if it grows the sport, it grows the sport, you know? And if it...
Exactly.
I know there's a lot of times people don't want to have new fans join in on something they already like, but I say the more the merrier, really.
And you know, I call those people gatekeepers.
Gatekeeper.
And I don't like gatekeepers.
Yeah. I don't even have any gates, so like... yeah.
I've got a window. That's about it.
A window. Yeah. Well, you know, I think maybe we'll call this one a podcast because I am burning up out here in Southern California, and you look like you're melting in New England. So,
yeah, it's the AC is off. The temperature is rising in here quite a bit.
And before we lose anybody today, let's call it a wrap.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening, though. And it's always fun. We're going to be doing this more often again. And I think I like doing the live video, so I think we'll keep doing that.
I like doing this live stream video. I think it's kind of a cool way to interact. And, you know, if anybody who watches wants to just, like, leave a comment or ask us a question about whatever, then feel free to. We're always open to having you guys talk to us about Formula One or any other general questions.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I say let's hit it because I'm gonna hit that AC and call it an evening over here.
Yeah, I'm gonna be turning mine on in just a second.
All right, well, this was fun, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Yep, sounds good. See you guys.